And all of God's people said, amen. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you, young ones. We appreciate that. Amen. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 4. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. Proverbs chapter 4, as we continue our series in this wonderful, instructive book. Please remember, I know you've heard it before, I must say it again, these are not the words of men, this is the word of God that we're going over, and being it comes from God, He's the God of truth, so every word of it is true. It's the truth. It has authority, though it has every right to bear on our character and our life, to avoid things that we should avoid and to pursue things that we should pursue. And we need to see the wisdom in God's word. This morning, our exposition will be found in verses 20 through 27. Follow along as I begin reading in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Shall we pray? Father, we come before you acknowledging what we have before us. And that is the very words of God, the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God breathed. It bears truth, reality, authority. Father, there is absolutely no error. There is no taint or flaw in them. They are ever perfect, always perfect, and forevermore perfect. We, on the other hand, when we speak, our words are not always true. Ours are not always eternal, certainly for the here and now. But Lord, when we look at your word, may we do what the great believers in Thessalonica did, and that is they didn't treat these words as the words of men, but as it is indeed the word of God. And that's the reason why your word hath such an effectual work upon them. So Lord, help us to be attentive. Help us to follow exactly what the passage said, to give attention, to incline, to turn away from everything to it. May we listen to it. May we heed it. May we respond. And Lord, may you bless and anoint the preaching and the teaching and exposition of your word for your glory, our edification, and for drawing sinners to yourself. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our previous passage, it warned us against entering the wicked path. Here we are admonished to walk the straight ahead in wisdom's way, as instructed by his father, and not to swerve to the right or to the left. Some call this passage the anatomy of discipleship by the use of the body parts. In this passage, you will have the ears, the eyes, the heart, the body, the mouth, the lip, the eyelid, the pupils, the foot. What we have here is Solomon is calling us and exhorting us and commanding us to guard our hearts, to guard our mouths, to guard our eyes, and to guard our feet. First thing I call your attention to is point number one, is give attention to my word. Again, we're reminded as we have so far throughout this book, to listen to the wisdom of parents that certainly is giving the Word of God, giving the precept and the principles and the lesson from the Word of God. It starts out in verse 20 by saying, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying." The word "give attention," we've already dealt with it before, but it's good to be reminded and understand the definition, because God himself is repeating it for us. It is the idea to listen with the intent of obeying. It's not simply paying attention and do as you please, or pay attention and listen to it but do nothing with it. It is the meaning that you listen with the intent to obey. These verses show the way to the heart is through the ears and through the eyes. We get our information from things we listen to and the things we see. Getting that information, and he is saying, listen and give attention to his words and incline your ear to my saying. And yet often we allow our minds to be wandered and gather information from sources that are not reliable, whether either by ear or by our sight. We are called to pay attention and to obey the words of wisdom. Here the word "incline your ear" in the second half of that verse, it speaks to the fact, not simply leaning into it, but actually the word that also means to turn to. In other words, what we do, what we have, beloved, is we live in a world that's constantly vying for our attention, constantly trying to get us to listen to it. And no matter where you're being distracted to or where you've been called to, we should always turn to wisdom. Always turn to the instruction, in this case, of using the parents who teaching the Word of God. Or in a foundational sense, turn to His Word. Incline your ear, or incline, or turn your ear to my saying. While everything around it is trying to get our attention, we need to turn away from everything else to wisdom, to God's Word. That's our duty. It is very easy to just kind of go into autopilot and just drift. We are determined, we made choices if we're going to fear the Lord and take and follow the path of wisdom. One of the distinctive marks is not to be distracted or sidelined or misinformed, because we're allowing through our ears and eyes misinformation, where everything should pay attention to and in turn to wisdom and the things of God. What we have here also, verse 21 says this, "Do not let them depart from your eyes." It presupposes that you have been getting this information. You have this information. You have acquired this information. When you do that, never let it leave your side. Never let it depart from your eyes. Let it always be before you. The idea of not letting them depart, it means that you must retain them and not allow them to slip away. We need to understand that when God calls us to follow wisdom, and when we do follow wisdom and we gain that wisdom, we are to do everything we can to hold on to it and never to let it go. We have already learned it. In fact, verse 21 again, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." And what we have here, those who will not allow it to fade away or slip away or depart, the promise is God will be with them and guide them. We have already learned that in chapter 3, verse 18, where it says, "She is the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." What? Her what? Wisdom. A couple verses later in verse 21 in chapter 3 of Proverbs, said, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Earlier in this chapter, chapter 4, verse 4, "He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my word. Keep my commands and live." And then a couple of verses later in verse 6, do not forsake her, she will preserve you. Love her or embrace her and she will keep you. We need to, in this passage, we also see that we are to keep them in the midst of our hearts. To retain her, to treasure her. Here, when you talk about we have learned so far from the book of Proverbs, you either in a seeking mode to find treasure or you have possession of a treasure, doing everything you can to protect and guard against losing it. That's the idea here, that when you get wisdom, when you get truth, when you get God's word, God's ways, God's will in your heart, keep her, treasure her, value her, protect her. John Kitchen, commentator on Proverbs, said these words I thought were insightful. Quote, the centrifugal force of life had the tendency to move wisdom to the outer fringes of our conscious attention. Wisdom required constant maintenance. In other words, as we go through life, and yet when you think of the centrifugal force, it's always moving it out. When we gain wisdom, we need to do everything we can to maintain her and keep her and to do everything we can so it doesn't drip away, slip away, or depart. Heart, once instructed in the ways of God, required a lifetime effort to reinforce by repetition and reminding ourselves of the truth of God's word, the truth of wisdom, and the truth of his ways. We learned that earlier in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my word and treasure my command within you. So we have learned right from the get-go in the first two verses in 2021, we are to give attention and to turn our ear to the truth and to the saying of God and to wisdom. We are not to, when we have hold of it, never let it depart. Let it always be within and in the midst of our heart. Verse 22 says this. Here's the motive why you should. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. There is blessings inherent in the wisdom of God, into the word of God and the truth of God. When you follow God's way, it brings blessedness. Certainly not perfection. That doesn't come until after we are gone to be with him forever. But the idea here is that we have already learned also the truth and the fact that when we follow wisdom's path and wisdom's ways, there will be life to those who find wisdom and health to all their flesh or to their body. Here the idea is promised that walking in wisdom gives life and health, strength. We learned that in chapter 3, verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. One commentator said it this way, the benefit of walking in wisdom accrue to every dimension of man's life, physical, emotional, spiritual, and psychological. This holistic health requires that our whole body be consecrated to God and kept in obedience to him. End quote. So the benefit of walking in wisdom will touch and bless every area of our life when we gain wisdom and apply it to our lives. God's life, God's will, God's word, God's way bring healing, guidance. It always leads us in the straight path, in the right path. Help us to avoid the stumbling block that we bring upon ourselves by deviating from that path. John Kitchen said this. What I have just said, he said that this may sound silly to those blinded by the bias of our age towards a mechanistic understanding of the human body. Yet who can calculate the physiological, emotional, and psychological devastation that sin brings? Who can record and evaluate the devastation and the destruction that sin had caused in the life of every person, and their, whether it's emotional, psychological, or physical, or all? There is no way you sin it and does not impact you. It will impact you, whether you recognize it or not, or aware of it or not. Thus saith the Lord. Even Psalm 32, 3 and 4, where David, this is the confession, Psalm 32 and 51, the Psalms of repentance and confession of David as a result of his sin with Bathsheba. In 32 it said this, "When I kept silent, my bone grew old through my groaning all the day long." In other words, in that time when he committed the sin of adultery and murder, and before he repented and confessed after being confronted by the prophet Nathan, he had this period of anywhere from 9 months to a year where he was silent and did not confess his sin, and yet God worked on him to the point inside he was groaning. He was groaning. Verse 4, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality would turn into drought of summer." Selah. You were heavy on my conscience. Your guilt was there. It would wear me out. It took the vitality of my life out of me. Did I feel like nothing more than a harsh, dry ground in summer? Proverbs 4, verse 13 says this, "Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her let go. Keep her." Why? "For she is your life." That's just a few verses before this one right here, and yet it promises by reinstating the truth. "For they are life," verse 22, "for those who find them, and health to all their flesh." Wisdom and enabled us to avoid the disastrous effect of foolishness and sin upon our bodies and health, as well as spiritually. When you make bad choices that is contrary to the will and wisdom and word of God, you will pay the price. The Bible says in Proverbs, "The way of a transgressor is hard." A transgressor is anybody who goes against the word of God and disobeys. And yet, so often we forget how important his wisdom is. And so he is reminding us again, pay attention. Turn your ear toward. Do not let them depart from your eye. Keep them there. Why? Because she's your life. She's gonna preserve you, keep you, take care of you. Bring to the point number 2, verse 23, probably the key verse of this passage. Some say it's one of the most prominent verses in all of Proverbs. Pretty hard to argue with that. I mean, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is another one. But it said this, listen to these words. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Here we have some tremendous instruction and exhortation to watch and to guard our heart. Some commentators said that if there were one verse that they could give to Christian young people, it would be this one. I would add, to any Christian, it would be this one. There's nothing more important than a continual watch and the guarding of your hearts. Watch your hearts. Guard it. Protect it. Keep a watch over it. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you desire. Watch your heart. The word "keep" there means the word "guard" or "to protect." It is to guard or protect from danger. It is to act as a watchman or a guard that on the watch night while everybody else is sleeping, you're watching for the enemy encroaching the camp. You are to put a guard around your heart. Protect it. Keep it from things that will hurt your life. The Hebrew understanding, when you have you know, the Old Testament is translated from the Hebrew language. The Hebrew concept and understanding of the heart includes, one, the mind. It is the ability to think and reason. Two, the will or volition is our ability to make choices and decisions. And three, the emotion, which is the capacity for a broad range of feeling. So in essence, it is a term that reflects the totality of the inner person, the whole person. This call is the call not to watch your heart and make sure you have a regular checkup with your medical doctor. It's having an examination and watching your heart to make sure you don't deviate from the will, word, and wisdom of God. It is the call to guard and watch over the inner you, keeping and observing the commands of God in our heart protects us from evil. When we get sloppy in watching and guarding our heart, we get in trouble. We do not actually, accidentally, by default, bend to good. We're sinners. We bend to sin, away from what we ought to do. That's why we need to be taught. That's why we need to be instructed. That's why we need to be rebuked and corrected from time to time to get back on the path, because of our tendency to deviate from the path. That's why he makes this strong urging to all of us. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it brings the issues of life. Talked about keeping, Proverbs 22:5, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Did you notice that? If you're a perverse person, a person who twisted the truth the other way, or to live not according to the way you were created for and given your existence for, then you will be faced with constant thorns and snares in your life. They will come, and you're going to think, well, why is this happening to me? One of the things you won't do, because you're a fool, is you don't think of God throwing these snares and issues in front of you. But it says in that verse, those who guard his soul will be far from those thorns and snares. Watch your heart, beloved. Proverbs 23:19, hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Even our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, verse 38, said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. We are to constantly watch and to guard and to keep our hearts. Why? Our Lord said, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hebrews 12:15, looking carefully, let anyone fall short of the grace of God, let any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. He started that whole section by saying, look carefully lest you fall short. Another way of saying, keep your heart. The idea is with all diligence. First of all, the word keep, meaning guard, protect, be a watchman, it's already a word that's intense. It requires diligence just to do that work. Then he adds the word with diligence, which adds intensity to it. So you already got guard your heart, protect your heart, keep your heart, do it diligently. But if that wasn't enough, look at that verse again, verse 23. Keep your heart with that next word. All diligent. Now he had intensified it even more by adding the word all diligent. Not just diligent. That's pretty intense as it is. But with all diligence. Oh, that we with strength and push and strive to keep our hearts, to watch our heart, to realize how important it is to watch and to guard our hearts. This is the saying of all the things that we should watch and guard over. Nothing deserves more protection and supreme effort than our hearts. So let me ask you a question. Simple question that I believe the text begs it. Why is this great value placed upon the heart? Why this duty upon the heart? The second half of the verse answers the question. Look at it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. Period. We're not aimless, robotic, merely a mechanized machine in our bodies and flesh. We're not decision makers just simply because of a bunch of things firing off in our brain. We are people of choices and decisions. You either follow the path of wisdom or you don't. Here he is saying you have to watch your heart because how your in life ends up and how your life will be is determined by it. For out of it spring the issue of life. That phrase, issues of life, means every area and dimension of our life will be affected by the dictate and the direction of our heart. If we have an evil heart, a silly heart, a foolish heart, a heart full, given to folly and foolishness, vanity, we're going to pay that price. Guard your heart. Where's it going? So I ask the question, so how well are we protecting and guarding our hearts away from folly and keeping it on the path of wisdom? How are we doing today? That's why parents, you teach your young people, you teach your children the importance of staying on the right path, his way, not your way, their his way. That's the most important thing. Not to make them look like perfectly from a cookie cutter standpoint, look like something. It speak and challenge and work in their hearts and create a desire for them to seek and hunger and thirst for wisdom. You need a model and to teach the value and the importance of seeking wisdom. And above all, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. Because if they don't learn it, if we don't learn it, we pay the price. So, beloved, there is nothing of greater value on this earth than guarding the condition of your heart. One commentator said it this way, there is no single action that will more directly affect the outcome and quality of your life than the guarding of your heart. So guard your heart. Protect yourself. Be all that God would have you to be. Point number 3, verses 24 through 27, are the marks of guarding your heart. What we have here are the marks of what it looks like to guard your heart. Verse 24 starts out by saying this, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. First thing you need to do is guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Watch what you say. We all know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The quality of the heart is revealed in the content of our talk. Luke 6:45, our Lord said this, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. We are to, if you look at the text, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So the first thing is to get rid of a deceitful mouth. Here is the idea of the word that means crooked, It is anything that distorts or deforms the truth. It can come in forms of lies, half-truth, white lie, deception, distortion to the truth that revealed the real heart problem. Why would anybody want to lie? Because you're trying to cover up something. Instead of, you don't have to cover up when you're on the right path and in the way of wisdom and doing the right thing. The only reason why you need to deceive and lie and shade and withhold some of the whole truth is to protect yourself instead of realizing that it is much better to simply live a life that's pleasing to Him and watch your heart and beware of the things you think and say. Such talk betrayed one who had dropped the guard over their heart. Then it said to put away perverse lips. The idea there is to depart from what is right and true. Ephesians 4:29 said this. Here's the positive way to live. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. You want to be careful what you say, that you don't ever say a mistruth. You don't want to say anything that's deceptive. You don't want to say anything that's not according to the truth. I might even add that it not only speaks to the fact that you should be careful what you say, you ought to be careful what you listen to, because I believe the real guarding is the things we have a tendency to listen to. And if you apply that principle of a deceitful mouth and a perverse lip, then you need to stay away from people that are spewing out lies about the truth, that don't speak the truth. How come I can say that? Two verses. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Well, you got to have discernment to realize what they're saying is not true. Then you got to make that decision, courageous decision, to get away from them. I'm not going to listen to that nonsense because it's not the truth. You have been deceived. And you are trying to communicate reality, but it's a lie. Another one is that we go all the way back to the very first psalm, to the very first verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So in either case, be careful of what you say and be careful what you listen to. Guard your mouth and guard your ears, all right? Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelid look right before you. Here we are to guard our eyes. Not so much to the content of what we see or what we bring into our eyes, but the idea here is to look straight ahead on wisdom. Wisdom have already charted our way. Stay focused on it. Stay locked on it. That's what it's saying here. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't get distracted. There's going to be things constantly get your attention. Stay focused. Stay on the straight path. Stay straight ahead on wisdom path with undivided attention. A wise man knows where he's going and he maintains that focus on the goal. Even our Lord in Matthew 6:22 said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, or the word, it's also translated the word single, or sincere and focused, your whole body will be full of light. And so if your focus is right, if your object of your sight is right, then you're going to stay on the right path. But, the very next verse said, but, if it's filled with darkness, meaning off the path, anywhere but on the right path, how great is that darkness? The fool gets distracted by allurement that calls him off the path. We don't want to be distracted off the path. We need to find out what God's way is and how we are to do it and lock ourselves on it. Next one at verse 26 and 7, ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Here, guard your footstep. Guard the way you go. The word ponder the path means to perceive and to be alert to your path. The idea is to pay attention, to avoid any steps of hindrances that keep you off the path of God's wisdom or God's way. Guard your footsteps, beloved. Psalm 119:59 said this, listen to this. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimony. In other words, he examined his life and realized, you know, I need to get back on the right path. And his testimony is another, it's a synonym for the Word of God. Testimony speaks to the fact that I will put my feet on the path of your word. Ephesians 5:15 said this, see that you walk circumspectly, carefully. I'll never forget the first time I heard a really good illustration of that was there was a prison that had some high walls around it, and on top of the ledge across the entire wall was embedded some really razor sharp glass that protruded quite a ways out of the top of the wall. And there was one day some prisoners looking up and seeing a cat walk on the top of that wall. And even the cat had to be careful because that cat methodically, carefully, or use the word circumspectly, played each step so it wouldn't cut itself on the glass on the wall. Here lies, we need how to walk in life circumspectly, carefully. Watch your footsteps. A couple verses later, in verse 17 of Ephesians 5, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To walk a circumspect life is to know and understand the will of God and to walk in that way. So ponder, perceive the path of your feet. Then it said, let all your ways be established. May it be secure. Secure in God's way, not your way. God's way, wisdom's way, not in the way of the world. Psalm 37:23 said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When we understand and obey and heed the front end of that verse, ponder the path of your feet, it will lead us to live in an established way and our steps to be established. Then in verse 27, we have the continuation of the exhortation to guard and wash our feet. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. The idea of the phrase turn to the right or to the left, very instructive, very important. Instead of too often we look at it as a cliche, but it's very instructive. The idea here is that we have distractions that want to take us off the path, but don't go either to the right or to the left. Stay on path. Stay on focus. Stay on the straight path of God's will. Our focus must be firm. Verse 25 talks about our eyes to keep our feet on the straight and narrow way of God's will. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I forgot, I let go of those things I've accomplished and press forward. And he would always pressing toward the mark of the goal of the pride of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Even in the wonderful passage in Hebrews 12:1-2, actually the last half of 1 and the first part of 2 says this, let it run with endurance the race that is set before us. God has already set the race out in front of us. Wisdom's already charted it for us. Stay on it. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. The first part of verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There is, beloved, when you talk about a right or a left, don't go to either side, say on tap, there is no third way. There is no middle way. There is a great amount of energy by Christians in the times in which we live where the world is confronting us and making us to celebrate sin and things that God said are an abomination to Him. And they are spending a lot of energy to try to find a middle and third way. Beloved, it's either the right way or it's evil. Don't cave into, there is no such thing as a third way. A third way is another way of compromise. There is no middle path between the wide path and the path of folly. It's either the right path or the way of evil. That's what it said. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. That phrase, left or right, came from Moses as he was instructing the second generation of Israelites who were going to be the generation to go in and claim the promised land. And he restated and retaught them the law because they had not heard it. Their parents did in Exodus 20. Now in Deuteronomy, it's the restatement of the law and what God expects to a whole new generation. And it said in Deuteronomy 5, right after he gave the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, verse 32, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Later on in chapter 28, verse 14, though you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And then as they were ready to go into the promised land, God raised up Joshua to take him in and to set the tone and stage for the conquest stage. He told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 7, only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And then the final exhortation regarding guarding your feet is remove your foot from evil. If you're on the path of evil, get off of it. Remove it. Get away from it. Stop going and get out back on the right path now. So, beloved, in all of this we have clearly, we are to turn our ears to wisdom. We got to give attention with the intention of obeying it. But the whole time we have to watch our hearts. There are so many things trying to bombard it and distract it and get it off the path. Just like the song said, prone to wander, Lord, how I feel it, prone to wander from the God that I love. We are tempted. We must guard our heart. And we do it by what? That we need to guard our mouths, we need to guard our eyes, we need to guard our footsteps. May God bless the preaching of His Word. Father, thank You. Lord, this is one of those messages that we can go on and on, but Lord, we know what it's saying. It is clear. May we heed what it says. May we respond it in a way that will please and honor You, and that we will indeed be able to get the promises in this book and throughout. There is promises of blessedness that we will not have self-inflicted issues because of bad choices, because we are on the right path. The Lord help us to honor you. May we watch and guard our hearts, for out of it springs the issues of life. We ask these things in Jesus' name.